I mean, warm introductions help a lot. I'm sure you hear that a lot, that piece of advice a lot if you're looking for a gig, but it's true. It gets you noticed. I mean, we have hundreds of applications for every position. Like, yeah, there's at least 50 for any given position. We did a sales position. We're building an inside sales team to help people understand and get into the IRA product. Mm. And we had 400 applications for that position.
That's great.
I mean, the product marketing manager had 150 applications, you know, and like probably half of those are, you know, like crypto people who are looking for a job. Mm. But there's still a lot of Bitcoiners out there who are applying for these jobs. So
welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Code podcast, where we interview entry-level to C-level executives about working in the Bitcoin industry. Learn about their interview process, what they do day-to-day at their Bitcoin job, and advice for current job seekers looking to work full-time in Bitcoin. Hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Code podcast. I'm your host, Eric Podwatchke. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Brady Swenson, who is the head of product marketing at Swan Bitcoin. Thanks for joining me, Brady.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. Yeah, this is a fun conversation too, because I'd say maybe 10 episodes or so, I had another member at Swan Bitcoin on the show. Mm-hmm. His name's Alec. We had a really great conversation about how he landed a job at Swan Bitcoin. But I think this conversation will be a little different because Brady is actually more of like an executive type of employee at Swan. So we can hear the other side of it, maybe how he thinks about hiring. And so some tips for listeners as well that are job seeking right now. Mm-hmm. So Brady, before Bitcoin got in your life and you started working in it full time, what were you doing professionally?
I have been working on the web since I was 17. I got a job at an insurance company, just working in the IT department, just helping to fix desktop computers and random stuff like that, run cables. And I loved coding. I'd been into coding for a few years at that point, doing it in the summer with my friend, and we'd make games and did all kinds of fun stuff. So I kind of got the coding bug at that point. When I went to college, I actually wanted to leave. This was late 90s. So I wanted to move to Silicon Valley and be part of the dot-com bubble.
Yeah, don't blame you.
Yeah. But my dad had spent his adult life saving money for his kids to go to college. And it was a dream of his. And when I talked to him about it, he made it clear that he really wanted me and he thought it was really important for me to get a college degree. And back then, I can't fault him for that line of thinking. I think it's a lot less important these days. But
yeah,
there was no curriculum for me to learn about coding for the web and building on the web. At that point, it was just too new. So I got an English degree, read a bunch of books, and worked my way through college building for the web with some government agencies at the university and then for like small businesses and stuff. Mm-hmm. I joined the Peace Corps after that and taught English and continued to read and write a bunch. When I got back home, I taught for a couple of years and I thought that might be my profession. I really loved it. But then an opportunity came along to kind of get back into the web world, and things were really picking back up then after the bubble burst. So I took a job at a small company in Lawrence, Kansas that did promotional products. We'd print your logo or whatever on anything you could imagine. And we had an amazing young team to build the website, and I helped do some front end coding, but I really had an impact doing SEM and SEO. So just brought tons of traffic, like just, you know, 10x'd traffic to the website, and we became the third largest promotional products company in the country in a couple of years. We were on the Inc. 500 list for 3 straight years. And then got acquired by a larger company in the space. And so that was a great experience. It was, you know, a startup experience, and went from a team of 15 people to 115 people while I was there. And really just, I loved that experience. I loved the energy and the camaraderie and the vibes of an early stage startup company and kind of being an underdog and really proving yourself with a small amount of resources. Mm. And after that, I went out on my own and I started consulting and working and just kind of, we started a family with me and my wife. And so, kind of the risky early stage startup thing wasn't as much of an option for me at that point. I needed something a little bit more stable, as we got our kids through early childhood.
Yeah.
And I fell into Bitcoin in 2017, had a podcast, and then that's how I met Corey and Jan. So then I took another chance on a small startup.
Okay. Got it. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Before we get to the Bitcoin aspect, I'm curious what it was like going through a startup that went from, like you said, 10 to 15 employees all the way 115 or so. So adding another 100 employees to a team. So I think that happens a lot now across Bitcoin companies. And yeah, what are just some things you've learned going through that process?
Yeah, it's, you just got to be flexible. New curveballs every single day, many a day. It's pretty tumultuous. You're trying to figure out your product market fit. If you're lucky enough to figure it out early, that's amazing. A lot of times you might find enough product market fit to bootstrap your company, but it won't, you know, be enough to take it to the next level. And so you've got to figure out what's next. Mm. And it's just a lot of trial and error, more error than success usually. So you just got to be able to pivot, be creative, be willing to dig in and try anything. The one thing that's interesting is trying to protect the culture of your company as you grow that fast. Mm. And we can definitely talk about this with Swan too, but
yeah,
I noticed that that, like I spoke about, that camaraderie and the relationships, those early relationships in the company and the way you work really changes. It has to change fundamentally. You go from like a team of generalists who are all sort of working together in uncertain projects, and you're basically doing everything and kind of helping each other out and doubling up where you need to. And so then you gradually evolve into a team of specialists and, you know, more specialists. There's definitely, you still need generalists in a medium or even late stage company, but there's more and more specialization and professionalization. And, that brings culture changes, and you've got to figure out, now you've got this hierarchy and you've got to figure out how to sort of retain that creative energy that, an early stage startup has, as much as possible, as you also sort of dial in what your business is going to be and gain more focus and build out teams to support those particular business lines, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, it's an interesting challenge for sure, is maintaining the company culture, or letting it evolve is also a challenge if it needs to.
Yeah. Now just thinking about Swan too. So Swan went through a similar growth cycle, I'd say, over the last year or two, right? Over like 100 people or so joined the team.
Yeah, over the past 2 years, that's probably about right.
So my question is, what's the difference between the initial startup that went through that growth cycle and then a Bitcoin startup going through that cycle, culture-wise? Are people like generally, just because they're Bitcoiners, are they all aligned on the same mission, or are you seeing similarities from that previous startup?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, it's definitely true that because we're all deeply on this Bitcoin mission, it makes a huge difference in, it's kind of a cheat code or an unfair advantage that I think Bitcoin companies have over traditional companies or TradFi companies that you're competing against ultimately. And it really, especially because Swan is an entirely remote team. We do not have a central office anywhere. Mm. When we all get together at Pacific Bitcoin every year, it's, you know, we rent a place to have a 1 day annual event. And that's the only time that pretty much the entire company is in a single room together, in a given year.
So it's an online culture, really.
It is. And I think that's one of the challenges of a fully remote company is, you know, building culture and building relationships between people. But being Bitcoiners and having that mutual mission is a massive game changer on that front. Like, it makes it way easier. I think when I was working at the promotional products company, there's like, you know, we're not passionate about promotional products. We were passionate about trying to grow the business. So we had that in common, of course. And that's, you know, what you rally around. But with Swan, having that extra layer of like of Bitcoin, you know, being aligned with Bitcoin and the Bitcoin mission, on top of, you know, wanting to make Swan successful. And what's interesting is like, yeah, we want to make Swan successful so that we can, you know, make money. But on like much more important to, I would say pretty much everyone at Swan is to advance the adoption of Bitcoin, because we see that as something that the world needs. And honestly, that's more important, I think, to everybody on the team, or pretty much everybody on the team is Bitcoin first. So yeah,
that's the general mission across, I'd say, most Bitcoin companies, Bitcoin first. Yeah. And then secondly, yeah, how can we make this business profitable?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's rewind it back. So I was curious, the founding days of Swan, were you part of the founding team or did you join like initially early on? What was your whole like Bitcoin story up to that? And yeah, joining the team.
Hey guys, real quick, as a Bitcoin-focused recruiting firm, our goal at Bitcoin Talent Co. is to bring as many professionals into the Bitcoin industry as possible. Since we don't run ads, our one ask is to rate, review, and share this podcast with friends and family so more people can find this show. Thanks, and now back to the interview.
Yeah, so yeah, the Bitcoin story is I had a Coinbase account in 2014, but I couldn't get my regional bank to connect to Coinbase, and I didn't feel like moving banks to some big national bank, you know, so I just gave up. I had no conviction. I was curious about it, but I had no idea really what it was. And of course, when I did figure out what it was, I went back and I found that email, that Coinbase email from 2014, and it was like, oh my God.
What was the price at then? Probably like $100?
Probably 200, yeah. $300 maybe. I don't know. It was, yeah, not much. But I knew about it. And then it came back on my radar when it broke all-time highs again and people started talking about it in the media again and on social. And so it was early 2017. And it was like just after it broke the all-time highs, right around $1,500 probably. Hmm. I found it. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to read some more about this. I looked it up on YouTube, found Andreas and watched a bunch of Andreas Antonopoulos videos and was like completely and totally hyped at that point. Pulled out my credit card and just like bought as much Bitcoin as I could. And then was like, I'll pay it off later. You know, like I'll figure that out later. But it was like,
I'm rich. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I knew I was going to be able to pay it off relatively quickly, yeah. But it was just like the quickest way for me to buy a lot of Bitcoin was with my credit card. So I just like YOLO'd and bought, you know, my first Bitcoin, and then it was off to the races. Of course, I was like, you know, taken by like Ethereum for a little bit, and then yeah. Cardano, embarrassingly enough. Cardano was really good at like marketing to like the academic type or like the intellectual type, you know. Okay. And they had all these bunch of white papers and all these like algorithms and here's how it works and a bunch of math and stuff that I didn't even understand but sounded very convincing and, you know, revolutionary and like this, the evolution of Bitcoin, etc. So I got sucked up into that for a little while, and then probably 5 or 6 months. And then the Bitcoin block size war was happening, kind of coming to a head. And that I found through that debate a bunch of the Bitcoin maxis and on Twitter, and started following them and kind of started educating, like learning more about why Bitcoin is really the only thing that matters in this space. And then it was me trying to figure out Bcash and Bitcoin. And I was like, which one's right?
Yeah.
So I finally, you know, figured it out. And in 2018, I started a podcast called Citizen Bitcoin, and it was early. So there wasn't nearly as much competition in the space as there is now.
Right.
And, I was like, here's the 10 people. If I get these 10 people on my podcast, you know, it'll take off. And, I got 9 of those 10 really early on. And then I got Adam back probably about episode 40 or so. And that completed the list. It took off, and it was, you know, one of the up there in probably the top 5 podcasts, top 6 or 7. There weren't that many.
Yeah. By the way, that's a huge part of my learning journey.
What's that?
You early on your podcast, actually.
Oh yeah.
2019. Awesome, man. Yeah.
That's awesome to hear. Yeah. Yeah. I hear that every once in a while, you know, some of the 2017, 2018, class will be like, oh yeah, I listened to your podcast.
Yeah.
So that put me on Corey's radar. And he and Jan I met Corey at Bitcoin 2019, met Jan there as well. They were pitching Give Bitcoin, or actually it was just Corey pitching Give Bitcoin. That's where Corey recruited Jan to join as co-founder and CTO.
At the conference.
at the conference. That's where I think you started putting the hard sell on him. And
magic things happen at conferences. Definitely go if you haven't gone yet. You're listening.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely do that. Especially if you're looking to get a job in the space. Like it's a must do.
Yeah.
So Jan had was taking a hiatus from work as he had sold a company. Acquired his company Reverb, which he helped found as well, which is a online community and marketplace for musicians. Got acquired by Etsy for a lot of money, and Jan had a windfall and decided to take some time off, and he wrote Inventing Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And was just totally obsessed with it and wanted to figure out what to do. So Corey convinced him that, you know, hey, Give Bitcoin is a great way to orange pill people. We're going to, you know, Bitcoiners can give gifts to their family and friends of Bitcoin. We'll hold on to it for 12 months. Every month you're going to get a chapter of a book. So guided education. And then after we feel like, you know, you've had a good chance to learn about what's going on, you have access to your Bitcoin, you can start buying more. And so it was called Give Bitcoin, and Corey started advertising on the podcast for the holiday season. And we got to talking.
Your podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Cool.
Yeah. And for Give Bitcoin, it was right coming up in the holiday season. So I had him on the podcast as well to talk about the project. And we started talking. He asked me what I did, and I was like, I've pretty much done everything on the web, but lately it's been pretty much, it's a lot of marketing stuff. I did a lot of content marketing strategy leading up to that. I would help companies develop and implement a content marketing strategy and kind of set up the process so they can keep it going and create that flywheel. We started talking, and he asked me if I wanted to help out. So I joined on a contract, like, you know, mid-November, I think, of 2019, and, you know, helped make a push toward the holiday season. And then in January, we saw this what users were actually doing on with the platform. And a lot of Bitcoiners were coming in and using this recurring gift feature that we had. Like, you want to set it up to give Bitcoin on the birthday every year, you can do that. It was like every on a monthly, there's also a monthly option. So Bitcoiners are coming in and DCAing with a monthly gift option because they wanted a Bitcoin-only DCA platform. And so that's how we spun out Swan. We're like, let's just, you know, productize this feature, and we'll just go hard on the importance of DCA and do a bunch of education. Came with the brand, the Swan brand. Corey came with the idea, and we decided to go with that one. So I was the first. I went full time in January. I was the first full time employee, and then about a year later, I got a call, FaceTime from Corey and Jan, and it was a little weird. They never FaceTimed me before. And the two of them together, and it was unexpected. So I was wondering, you know, kind of wondered what the heck was going on. And then Corey started saying all these nice things. And then he's like, we want you to be a co-founder of the company as well, because you were there at the beginning and you've meant so much to the company. And so that was just a really cool thing. I don't know how often that happens, like a retroactive co-founder, but
that is so cool.
That's how I got the title. And it's amazing. It was a great honor. So very cool.
Cool. So tell me, so it was originally Give Bitcoin, which is basically gifting Bitcoin, and Swan has evolved from then till now. What is the current suite of services Swan offers?
Swan is a pretty comprehensive, at this point, Bitcoin financial services company. So we started out with the DCA product, as I said. Mm-hmm. We also have instant buys, or smash buys, as we like to call them. We have an IRA product. We have Swan Private is our high net worth individual trust family office business, or side of the business. It's extremely high touch. We built very real strong relationships with clients. We're actually putting together a video right now that will live at the top of the Swan Private page, where we interviewed three of our Swan Private clients. We flew out and set, you know, nice two camera shots and did an interview with three clients, and we're cutting it together. And the focus is on the relationships that we built with our clients and how important it is to our clients and what it means to them, et cetera. So it's going to be really powerful, but, Swan Private has been very successful. We have a Swan Advisor Services, which is a way for a financial advisor to manage Bitcoin allocations for their clients. Swan Business, which serves businesses to accumulate for their treasury. We also have a product called the Bitcoin Benefit Plan, where employees can get a monthly Bitcoin benefit. So that's all automated by Swan. And yeah, we're going to announce another business line pretty soon in a couple of weeks. So you can watch out for that, but I'll have to leave that as a little teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I touched upon this before. How many people are on Swan team now? There's over 100, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know exactly. It's somewhere between 130, 135.
Okay. Got it.
And it's become a pretty big team.
But all of those 135 people or so, are they all Bitcoiners? And how do you think about hiring when it comes to Bitcoiners?
I think almost everybody would identify as a Bitcoiner. I can think of a couple people who were extremely talented, but definitely into Bitcoin, but probably not all the way. I don't think they would self-identify as Bitcoiners.
Okay.
But that's a small number of people. And I think they've, kind of accelerated their Bitcoin journey by joining Swan.
It's like once you join it,
they probably would at this point. But yeah, pretty much everyone we hire, we screen hard for really believing in the mission. Cause that's, again, aligning with the culture. It's culture fit is, almost requires you to have that conviction. So.
Yeah. So a founder that maybe isn't working specifically in the Bitcoin space, but as a company, why should they hire Bitcoiners? What do they do for your business per se? That's better than the fiat world.
Yeah. Again, it's going back to what we were talking about. It's that the alignment, the mission. So if somebody comes in and is a Bitcoiner, you've got connection with everybody on the team already, because you've done the work. You've arrived at the same conclusion, and maybe you see the value of Bitcoin, like the main values, the ones you think are the most important, are different than what your colleague might think, or this other Bitcoiner might think is the most important aspects of Bitcoin. And of course, that's gonna be the case. But that's why Bitcoin's so interesting, because it can unite so many people. It provides value in so many ways to the world that people who have different values, like their ultimate values that they hold most high, will be able to find something in Bitcoin that Bitcoin does, to engage and improve the world. So I think it's, if you're running a Bitcoin company, I think it's a must to hire Bitcoiners, and it's a big miss if you don't. So
yeah,
that's my case.
The way I would summarize it, honestly, is from being in a fiat job in the past, an engineering firm, I would look at the clock every day, like waiting for when it came 4 o'clock to go home. And same with my coworkers too. It was just, that was the culture. It's like, we're just going out for a paycheck. Bitcoin's different. And I experienced that at Bitcoin Magazine as well. People get up early to hop on work, and then they will stay as late as possible. Because we're all just on the same mission. We all believe the same thing. That just fundamentally shifts the way people think about how they work day to day. It's not just a paycheck. It's much more than that. And the cheat code is hiring those type of people that are showing up for reasons other than more than just a paycheck, even though that's just a fraction of it.
Yes, that's very well said. Yeah, that motivation to work and get stuff done and be efficient, and is super important. And I think at Swan we from the very beginning really emphasized work-life balance, which doesn't always happen. Often doesn't happen in a startup. And so I think we probably were, one of the, in terms of startups, one of the most, we embraced that idea more than most. So, while I think it's important to work hard and wake up early and work late and all of that, sometimes it's also important to make sure that you've got work-life balance, you're there for the long haul, even when it's like, you're super motivated to do it and it's super fulfilling. And it's like, you actually want to work for 12 hours in a given day.
You'll burn out.
And sometimes you have to, you go on sprints, like something happens, and you go on sprints and you got to do it. No choice about it, but it's just something that we do, try to emphasize at Swan, which is cool.
That's good. So as the head of product marketing, what do you do day to day at your Bitcoin job?
Yeah. So product marketing is all about creating positioning and messaging, different types of marketing collateral that supports acquisition marketing efforts and like sales efforts, for instance. So we work closely with the product team to understand how the product works and what it does and what the, you know, the main problems are that it solves, why we're building it, who we're building it for, all of that stuff. And then we'll take that and we'll say, okay, here's how we want to market this thing. Here are the main messages. We'll make, you know, the press release, the messaging document, a position statement, personas, the website, the web page, landing page for it, and all that stuff. So we'll make all of that. And then the rest of the company, the sales team and the acquisition team, for the most part, will take, you know, take all of that stuff and put it into their campaigns. Maybe it's a paid ads campaign, or, you know, you're, you know, pitching a client on a client call, so you want to use this this deck or PDF or something like that. So we put all that stuff together, and then we do the same thing for go to market, and then we do the same thing if we're going to run a campaign. So we'll help ideate the campaign. What's the messaging going to be? What are the target? What's the target audience? We do a lot of market research as well. Well, to understand the competitive landscape and document that. And then we also try to talk to our clients in, you know, various ways, doing surveys or trying to get people on the phone and just asking them what's working, what's not. We'll do that, you know, so that's the gist of it. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So we also, we work with creatives team. Like on my team, we have some marketers, and then we have creatives, and then we have educators. And the educators are like Sam Callahan and Stefan Levera and Tomer Strohlite. And, you know, they write and educate, Sam hosts podcasts, and that's, but all of that is like kind of branding. It's like Bitcoin education is, I mean, we're selling Bitcoin. That's our product. So educating about Bitcoin is part of, you know, a product marketing effort. Then we have the marketers, and I include myself in there, and Tomer helps me a lot. We just hired a new guy who's starting on Monday, and then Hunter Seeger also helps out with that. But Hunter's also on the creative team. So we have a couple graphic designers and web developers and designers and you know, video editor and like a producer. So we're kind of like a little an ad agency almost.
Within Swan.
Kind of within Swan.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's an interesting question. So as a recruiter in the Bitcoin space, I'm always, every day I'm talking to people looking to get jobs in the Bitcoin space, actively seeking. And one question I like to ask people is, what is one, like, their dream job in the Bitcoin space, maybe that a job title? Then two, what dream company would you want to work for? And more often than not, I always hear Swan for the dream company they want to work for.
Interesting.
Over and over.
That's cool.
So my question for you, as someone that's heavily involved in the marketing aspect and the branding, how did you guys build up that kind of brand that just attracts everyone to you and like wants to work for you?
Yeah. Well, I attribute a lot of it to that content marketing strategy. So I, like I said, I've been doing that for years. That was sort of the main thrust of my business, or of my work as a consultant before I came into Swan. And Corey was very much of the same mind, that like we kind of have this principle, this branding principle, be your own media, or be the media. And we have another one we can talk about in a minute, but that's kind of the core, the first branding principle we developed. And so we really just went all in on that. And that's, to me, like marketing, good effective marketing is all about building relationships with people, with your clients and potential clients. And media is a fantastic way to build relationship at scale. It's kind of it's a one-way relationship that you build, but it's one of those things, like, as a, you know, a podcaster in the space, you become like a mini celebrity within the Bitcoin world. You know, it's a small world, but you have a little taste of what it's. So you just, it's weird. I would go to conferences and people would be like, "Hey, it's Brady. Oh, I love your podcast." And we'd talk, and they felt like they knew me, because they would be, you know, they'd have me in their ears for their commute for the past 2 years or something like that, you know? And so that's, it's weird. It's kind of a weird experience. But it's this asymmetric relationship. So they think they really know you. They've heard about you, told stories about yourself, whatever. And then you get to know them, when you have a chance to meet them in person. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to build relationships. The other way is the other brand principle we have is throw the party. And so this is a way to
build relationships. You guys do throw a lot of parties, by the way.
We throw a lot of parties and events. And so Pacific Bitcoin is the biggest party we throw. And we do swan salons in two cities every month. And we do one-offs here and there. We've got a house down in El Salvador right now for the interim between Pacific Bitcoin and adopting Bitcoin. Mm. So a bunch of Bitcoiners hanging out and staying there. Stuff like that. And that's a relationship building thing, obviously, as well. It's more of a two-way relationship, and it's, you know, it's kind of like high fidelity, high broadband or broadband sort of connection, obviously. Hmm. So, but both of them, like one's at scale, one's building like stronger relationships, but it doesn't scale that well. But it's all about building relationships. And I think that's how we did it, is that people feel connected to the brand because we're talking to them a lot, you know, and we're interacting with them and we're creating this space to get to know them and vice versa. So, yeah.
It's just a reminder to any founders or execs listening right now, double down on the marketing, relationship building, because it goes a long, long way.
Yes. Yes, it does.
I want to switch over for the last part of the podcast now for job seekers. Swan's hiring for quite an amount of different roles, both non-technical and technical.
Yeah.
So I have some questions for you from just the perspective of a hiring manager at Swan. Mm-hmm. Just to start off, what's your interview process like at Swan Bitcoin?
We have prospects talk to usually five people, sometimes more, depending on like kind of what level the hire is. You know, if you're a C-suite hire, you're going to talk to more people and probably multiple times.
Sure.
But we have, so for instance, let's do this latest hire that we did on my team for a product marketing manager who starts on Monday. Me and Tomer did the first interview and we talked with them for about half an hour. We talked to about five other people, same thing. We whittled it down to two, and then we had an hour long conversation with both of them. And then they had long conversation, like another a half hour, at least maybe an hour conversation with three other people. So we kind of had to speed this one along a little bit because there was another competing offer on the table. Hmm. And then we had a sort of a panel interview with like five of us and the candidate, to arrive to a conclusion a little bit quicker. But usually it's, you know, a 3 or so week process, talk to 5 to 7 people, whittle it down. The candidate will talk to 5-ish people. And then Corey still interviews everybody at this point, and he'll be the last interview, and then Corey signs off, and that's it.
Got it. Cool. What's a go-to question you like to ask during the interview process?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like to ask a lot of questions to help me understand like a person fundamentally. Like, what are their values? How do they handle like an ethical dilemma? How do they handle building relationships, communication? You know, so I want to know the person more than their experience level at first. That's kind of my first filter, primary filter. If you pass that, then I start looking at experience and I start asking about, you know, let's talk about the piece of work or time in your career that you were most proud of. Like, what is, you know? And then I have a series of like 20 questions after that. And we just really drill down into that one piece of work. And I ask about everything about that, that I can find out. Yeah. And I like doing that. It's a great way to really understand how somebody works. And so those are my two things. It's like, you know, what are their values? Who are they as a person? And then let's just dive really deep into something you're proud of. And that's basically it.
Nice. And I guess along the lines of that first question, more about like their character and values, how do you tell if someone truly believes in Bitcoin? Maybe not a max course, but considers themselves a Bitcoiner. How do you actually tell if they're legit or not? You have a question, or is it just kind of like you suss that out over the interview?
We do that before the interviews. So we have a question on the application that it's, I think it's just, what's the difference between Bitcoin and crypto? And it's pretty easy to tell in the answer to that question, whether or not somebody is a Bitcoiner.
That's so
that's it. I'll scroll down to that question and right away in our HR system and look at that first. And then I just kind of, that's the first filter. Yeah. Like we were talking about earlier, like you pretty much have to be a Bitcoiner to work at Swan. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
You mentioned you just hired someone on your team. Is there any other open positions on your team right now?
There's about to be. We haven't posted it yet, but it's for a UI UX engineer to work with our front end designer and developer who builds our website, basically. So we have a huge backlog of things we want to do to the website. We're trying to, as part of this hiring process or part of this hiring phase, trying to build redundancy on the team so that there's not, you know, the bus factor, as Jan calls it, which is if you get hit by a bus, what will happen to your work on the team? And plus we just need the bandwidth, and it's good to have somebody to run with, you know, otherwise you kind of get isolated in your work. And so that person will be, or that job will be posted soon, probably next week.
Cool. So keep your eyes out for that. Anyone listening right now? A common, maybe not too common, but I get this pretty often, was where people tell me they apply to a Bitcoin job. They just don't hear back. Maybe they just hear back from an automated response, but they don't hear anything else back.
Yeah.
And can't get that initial first round interview. Yeah. What's a piece of advice you give to someone that's struggling with that right now?
I mean, warm introductions help a lot. I'm sure you hear that a lot, that piece of advice a lot if you're looking for a gig, but it's true. It gets you noticed. I mean, we have hundreds of applications for every position. Like there's at least 50 for any given position. We did a sales position. We're building an inside sales team to help people understand and get into the IRA product. And we had 400 applications for that position. I mean, the product marketing manager had 150 applications, you know, and like probably half of those are, you know, like crypto people who are looking for a job. But there's still a lot of Bitcoiners out there who are applying for these jobs. So it's very competitive. So somehow getting noticed is, and like, okay, so-and-so, you know, mention this person, they know this person, then I'm definitely going to go and look at that resume. Corey might go and look at that resume if he gets the recommendation or, you know, gets a DM or something like that. And then he'll say, hey, like, take a look at this person. Getting a warm introduction, or even if you don't have a warm introduction, reaching out. So submit your application and then DM me and say, hey, I submitted an application, would really love to work with Swan. And, you know, if you want to hop on a call or know anything more about me, I'm here, whatever, I'm available. It's shockingly, maybe only 10% of applicants will do that.
I agree.
So you, I mean, you can stand out just by doing that simple thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. That's great advice. Thanks. And more generally too, what's a piece of advice you give to someone that's maybe just into Bitcoin in general? They want to work for a Bitcoin company. They're drawn to Swan because you guys have really good marketing, obviously. What's a piece of advice you give to them that they can do right now to set themselves up to land a job at Swan eventually?
Proof of work is good. I always appreciate that.
What do you mean by that?
You know, it's like make some content. Like if you're a coder, build a website. If you're a designer, redesign a page on our site. Our director of design, actually Jorn Roeder, got his job really early on as well. It was, I think, February of 2020, before we launched Swan. It was still Give Bitcoin, and he got the job because he redesigned the Give Bitcoin website, which was like this kind of stock CSS sort of framework, you know, and it just had no identity, you know, just looked like some other random, like any random website. Because, you know, it's like an MVP, you get it out the door, that kind of thing. We didn't have a designer, we had coders. So that's how it ended up. And he redesigned the site. He's like a whole presentation, sent a portfolio, and it was like, that was his application, which is amazing. And like, he was hired because of that. So maybe a newsletter, if you're a marketer, a newsletter or a podcast or anything, make a little website that like randomly shows Bitcoin quotes or something like that. Just do something that you can say, you know, here, I'm already doing some work in the space, trying to contribute, and show that you're really serious about it. That's,
I'm so glad you said that. Honestly, I try to preach that over and over again, but probably hearing it from perspective of someone like yourself, drill it home. You just got to work on something in Bitcoin. It's open source. Anyone could do it. Yes. Whatever your skills are, you can even develop new skills as well. Like myself personally, I wasn't into writing that much. And then last 2-3 years, I just started writing about Bitcoin from what I've been reading, synthesizing my thoughts. And I've gotten a much better writer since then. So
nice.
You can learn new skills. You can show your proof of work, which eventually leads to a job. And that did lead to me getting a job in the Bitcoin space. And I've heard it from plenty of others too. So you got to show that proof of work.
Yeah, you do. Yep.
Two more questions before we wrap this up for today. One would be about, I guess, Swan more generally. What are you guys looking forward to in the upcoming, next year or so?
Yeah, we're really excited because we have our main business lines sort of figured out now. So we're kind of transitioning into a new phase of the business where we are focusing and kind of professionalizing, like I said earlier, as we, you know, up to 130 people or so now, we know what we're building and we're hiring people with that specific experience, that professional experience. They're coming in and they're, you know, like, okay, well, I've learned how to do this and here's how to do it. And we're going to, you know, this is the way. So you kind of go from those generalists to the specialists. So I'm really excited about that, really seeing these products professionalize and develop. We're really hitting on all cylinders now with like Brandon Quittam is running the acquisition marketing side. So we have, I'm running product marketing. He's running acquisition marketing. And basically the difference is, like I said, we're doing all the branding stuff, the ad agency type stuff. And Brandon is doing like very measurable campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe it's like paid ads. We're going to drive people to a landing page where there's a Bitcoin course, which we're releasing soon, by the way. It's called Welcome to Bitcoin, hosted by Natalie Brunel. It's pretty great.
Is it free?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's free. But it's, you know, it's part of our education content marketing where we want people to come in, and it's made for people new to Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. So something like that where he can measure everything along the way and tweak and optimize and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which he's fantastic at. So really just hitting on all cylinders on the marketing side and excited to really just push these products next year. So I see a lot of growth for private, a lot of growth for IRA, and we're going to really push on the app to get that into more people's hands. And which I love because it's, you know, it's an easy way to buy Bitcoin and set up a DCA. But it also has lots of, you know, education in the app. So we're going to push that really hard. Like I said, we've got another business line that we're going to announce soon, which is extremely exciting. That's just going to grow gangbusters next year, I think. So I think next year is going to be a huge year for Swan. And, you know, obviously we're seem to be starting the bull market. The halving is next year. So we're just gearing up to make sure that we have a solid foundation to, you know, absorb the onslaught.
I was going to say, from an outside perspective, that's literally what seems like happened with Swan, is you guys kind of regrouped over in the bear market last year or so. Mm-hmm. Built out a whole new foundation. You hired it up. Now you guys are ready to go once this demand's probably already starting to come back now that Bitcoin's at 37,000.
Yeah, October was our biggest month in a long time. So
I love to hear that.
Yeah.
One more question too before we wrap this up. What are you most excited about in Bitcoin more in general, about the protocol?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I'm still excited about Lightning personally. I find it super interesting. I hope that next year we'll see a lot of growth in Lightning. We should see a lot of growth in Lightning because I think on-chain fees are going to be pretty high throughout this bull market with the ordinals, you know, taking up a lot of that block space. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I see Lightning, you know, trying to fill that void. And this is the time, like I think the next 18 months is the time for Lightning to prove that its main purpose, which is to absorb kind of overflow demand for small purchases, you know, relatively small purchases with Bitcoin, and when chain fees are high. So I'm excited to see how it performs. Yeah,
because there's enough non-custodial and custodial wallets out there now.
Yeah,
that anyone can download and use. They work pretty flawlessly. I don't see transactions failing as much anymore. So
it's time for the big show, I guess, huh? We'll see how it goes. I mean, it has a stated purpose, or like, you know, it's one of its main purposes is to be able to keep Bitcoin payments functional when there's a lot of on-chain fees. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see how it goes.
Likewise.
Yeah. Cool.
Brady, thank you so much for your time today.
Where I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Where can the audience get in touch with you and learn more about Swan?
I am at Citizen Bitcoin on Twitter and Brady@swan.com. An email, and then swan.com is our website, and just search up Swan app in the Play Store or the App Store and grab the app. We have a podcast, the second podcast that I started, Swan Signal Live, as part of Swan in March 2020. I've now handed it off to Sam Callahan earlier this year, at the beginning of this year. He's been doing a great job, so you can check out swansignalpodcast.com for those, and it's also on our YouTube channel. So yeah, a little shill for Swan Sounds Signal.
Good. Go hit up Brady. Go see what Swan's about. And looking forward to your guys' success over in this bull market upcoming.
Really appreciate it, Eric, man. Take care.
All right. Yeah, see ya. All
right. Hey guys, thanks for listening. And I really hope you found value in this podcast. If you are a job seeker looking to work for a Bitcoin company, or you're a part of a Bitcoin company and need help with finding talent for your team, please head over our website at www.bitcointalent.co and get in touch with our team. Thanks. Until next time.